The House by Christopher Lee, starring Julian Glover as Charles Bannister and Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter, with Isla Blair as Mary Bannister, Christopher Benjamin as Henry Colville, and Siobhan Redmond as Juliet Cameron.
I must remind the House that many right honourable and honourable members have indicated their wish to speak.
Interruptions
of this kind really serve no useful purpose.
This very habit of time wasting, Mr. Speaker, that is the hallmark of members opposite. And the country recognises this. Mr. Speaker, this bill provides for an immigration policy based on decency, compassion, and a sensible approach to what could, if it were not for this bill, be an unnecessarily volatile matter. I will give way to the honourable member, but then I must be allowed to press on.
Mr. Speaker, will the Home Secretary explain that if this bill is based on, to use his own words, decency, compassion, and a sensible approach, then why, Mr. Speaker, are so many of his own side going to abstain?
Charles, I must ask you, what the hell's going on? I'm told that 30 of them are abstaining.
Oh, we've got 6 hours to go, we'll see.
If you don't mind my saying so, Charles, that's a very relaxed attitude for a chief whip with a major rebellion on his hands. This amounts to a vote of confidence, not a 5-day test match.
I don't think it's nearly as grim as you make out, Dougal.
But let me tell you, the Prime Minister, the Bombardier himself, went into the tea room to talk a few of them round. Now, we both know what he thinks of the tea room.
A sort of parliamentary booby trap.
Wouldn't be seen dead in there unless it's an emergency. When the Bombardier regards a vote as an emergency, I would call the situation grim. And so should you, Charles.
I'm not pretending everything's hunky-dory.
That's very decent of you.
There's no need for sarcasm, old man.
But there's a need for something. That little baggage Cameron was right. Some of them intend voting in the wrong lobby at 10 o'clock tonight. It's your job to make sure that doesn't happen.
Dougal, we've known each other for a long time, but I hardly think I need you to tell me my job.
It's my responsibility as your friend, as well as a colleague in Cabinet, to tell you home truths. Besides, it's my bill that could go to the wall. How will I look if that happens?
Oh, I imagine you'll think of something. In fact, I'm certain you will.
No, who's being sarcastic? Let me tell you something else.
No, let me tell you. For the past 6 months, I've warned everyone, including the Prime Minister, that we were heading for trouble. Tea Room Tattle, as Ten calls it, says too many of us are out of touch, including the PM.
No successful Prime Minister has ever been stupid enough to keep in touch with the country.
Oh, come on.
The skill of leadership, Charles, is to get the country to follow you. The other way round.
It's not working, old man. We both know that.
Of course, when the time is right. There are some of us who will be prepared to offer ourselves.
As an alternative leader?
For the good of the party, I understand. One must accept opportunity as well as responsibility.
Oh, my godfather, James. Here we go. Dougal, the ever-ready, the respectable face of opportunism.
Politics are about seizing opportunities and converting chances for everyone's good.
Especially yours, eh?
Certainly. I'm a realist, Charles.
A realist or opportunist?
Suit yourself.
Perhaps the realist can explain to me why we're shooting ourselves in the foot by bringing forward a bill that has little support in the country, in the House, and realistically, even in the party.
Truth. I haven't seen it like this since just before old Mr. Barker died. Just these three to sign. I'll get them away tonight. Two of them came in on crutches, remember?
There. I'd swap that night for this one if I had the chance.
Now, in the old days, a three-liner was a three-liner, wasn't it? Do what they flip in like, some of them. Hawkins reckons it's all those estate agents that got in last time.
And what about you, Rose? Do you subscribe to the Arthur Hawkins School of Political Analysis?
Don't knock him. He's the best Chief Whip's messenger.
Assistant, please.
Fancy title. He's the best in donkey's years. Knows what's going on. He knows who's getting telephone calls, messages, who's saying what, who's having quiet little chats in the Ways and Means corridor, the lot.
That wasn't my question.
He's right. Too many of the new ones are in it for a career. Good contacts, directorships and all that.
But why, Rose? If we go down, a lot of them will lose their seats. Come on, 4:15. Just a lot.
I think so. Oh, Mrs. Bannister phoned. Said not to forget it's Polly's birthday tomorrow.
Why the blazes should I forget? Sorry. Did you wrap it?
It's in your briefcase. And the card. Don't forget to sign it.
I always do it. Not proxy machine.
And you always say so. Nothing wrong with it. Perfectly good toaster. Anyway, it was
a wedding present.
And I always say that. Sorry, darling.
At least a sense of humour survived last night. Ghastly on news night. But you said no.
We lost a three-line whip. Governments don't do that. Explaining things away on the box at least gives me a chance to appear reasonable and plausible. Which is more than I'll get in Cabinet this morning.
You look tired out.
According to the paper, played out would be a more accurate expression. Listen to this. The failure of the chief whip, Charles Bannister, to bring the rebellious backbenchers to heel added fuel to rumours that he is about to be replaced by a more hard-line member of the government. Well, if there wasn't a rumour, there is now, eh?
Is it true?
Well, you don't know. That says something about the situation, I suppose. Blast, blast, blast. It was so unnecessary. I'd warned them we couldn't get it through. I told them the timing was all wrong.
They can hardly blame you. After all, you were right.
Oh, come off it, Mary. You know as well as I do there are no prizes for being the only one right. Unless you happen to be...
the bombardier.
Exactly. Listen to this. There was speculation last night that the parliamentary private secretary of a senior cabinet minister has resigned in order to join the growing number of rebel backbenchers. Now, that's a rubbish. They just make it up.
Is it really worth it, Charles? All this hassle. Scratching and squabbling, being treated like some prefect rather than a minor public school. Late nights that get later and later. Look at you. You're washed out. What for?
Let's go.
There you are. Exactly what I'm talking about. Almost getting to the point where I have to make an appointment to see you.
Well, thanks for your support.
I didn't mean it like that.
Perhaps you should have married someone with a 9-to-5 job.
I did. 9 in the morning until 5 the next morning.
Spare me the sarcasm, Mary. I'm getting more of my share at the moment. Anyway, what brought this on? I was in the house when we married, so was your father. There's nothing new, surely.
It was fun in those days. Now I don't know if it's all worth it.
Look, I really must go. I've got my own post-mortem before Cabinet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to be understanding. I know. How about lunch today?
No can do. I'm meeting your brother at the Reform.
Well, perhaps I can pass messages through dear Henry. Give him my love.
Look, I usually stroll back across St. James's. Why don't you take Worcester for a walk and we could walk through the park together? 1:30?
Gosh, 10 whole minutes hanging on the end of Worcester's lead and your every word. No, Charles, you have your clubby lunch with Henry and I'll see you tonight.
Look, I must go.
You haven't forgotten that we're giving Polly supper, assuming she ever gets up today.
No, I haven't forgotten, and frankly it was hardly necessary to tell Rose to remind me of my own daughter's birthday.
You're looking a bit tired, Mr. Bannister, if you don't mind me saying so. You're all right.
Very kind of you, Mr. Hawkins. No, fine. These are, as the Chinese would observe, interesting times.
Out there on the mob I was. Well, not exactly China, Hong Kong still. All the same nowadays, isn't it?
Soon will be, I'm afraid. When was that?
Last tour, 83. Just been made up, colour sergeant. That's when I first came across Mr. Mossman.
Oh, Mr. Mossman. I didn't know you was in the army.
Too right. Short service commission, one pip wonder. Right, tear away. They reckon he knew every bar in one chai. Done all right for himself, ain't he? She'll get on okay with Mr. Baxter, though. Same school, so I hear, sir.
Why Mr. Baxter?
Well, it's...
Hi there. Practicing the common touch, are you?
Hello.
Watch it, Arthur. Mr. Bannister will sign you up as a whip if you're not careful.
Not a bad idea, Miss Cameron. Someone could do it a couple of years in uniform. That'd straighten them out.
I'm afraid parliamentary privilege and the Queen's shilling don't mix.
Half of them wouldn't know what privilege is. Ah, sounds like my war stand. Excuse me.
What brings you in this time of the morning? Your lot don't normally turn up till lunch.
We call it dinner. I came to gloat.
Oh.
Government on the run is a pretty sight. I told you weeks ago you'd never get away with it.
I don't know. Circumstances might have been different.
Come on, Chang. It's me you're talking to, not the local rag.
You shouldn't call me Chang. Not here, anyway.
Sorry. Then you shouldn't behave like a Mandarin. By the way, what's this about him taking on that creep Mossman as his PPS?
Who?
Ah, Charles, there you are. Just the man.
Must go. See you.
What was that little baggage up to? You want to watch her? No, Charles, I think you and I had better have a quiet word.
Henry, what a lovely surprise.
Oh, pleasure.
Flowers.
Ah, my dear, I'm afraid that's a Polly.
Oh.
I buy her soft blooms, for she so gently kisses my blushed cheek.
Is that from something I should know?
No, I rather thought it original, but you may be right. So often you are.
Wait a minute. Sorry.
Am I to wait with one knee trembling to bend, or should I tap at her door?
I should plonk them over there. I'm afraid your Lancelot act is wasted. She surfaced about 10:30, spent the next hour in the bathroom, 15 minutes brain heating with a hairdryer, and dived out of the house 10 minutes ago.
I'm desolate.
You're not. All the same, I'll tell her you were. Coffee?
Why not? It is the hour.
Sorry. No biscuits. You need to lose some weight. You're becoming just like Daddy. Quite portly.
He was 80 and distinguished, a reasonable ambition.
He waddled.
It can be impressive. You look tired.
Thanks very much. It's a family condition. Polly gets over it by sleeping throughout daylight hours. Charles sees it all part of public duty.
Oh, dear. The glum is extraordinary this day, is it not?
Sorry. Feeling a little bruised, that's all. I think that a good lunch at Overton's wouldn't have fixed.
Then why don't you, my dear? It's a fine morning.
Steak au poivre my own and a doggy bag for Worcester isn't at all what I meant.
Well, what about Polly? Aren't you two lunching? After all, it is her birthday.
You're joking. Having been told by my own husband...
Better than someone else's?
Hush, will you? Having been told by my own husband that he prefers lunching with my brother...
We are just good friends, he told the Daily Express.
Polly then says, no, thank you. She is lunching. She is lunching. Where? At the house. That's where.
Anyone we know?
Not really. Rather smooth. A bit oily for my taste.
Ah, so not one of the young Turks.
Oh, he's that all right. According to Polly, anyway. Man called Gerald Mossman.
I simply wanted to warn you that some are going to question very closely the way in which our own people are kept in order.
Isn't that a rather 1984-ish view of parliamentary democracy?
Yes, of course. This is not a trade union. It is supposed to be a disciplined party.
Dougal, I am not for one moment trying to duck my responsibilities, but really, we had all this last night.
I know. But things have become serious. I have to tell you, as a friend, of course, that the Prime Minister is livid. And, well, some of us are not sure that we're able, in the circumstances, mind you, to support you.
In what?
Charles, you're making this very difficult. The Bombardier will be thinking of someone's head. I don't believe you've grasped the seriousness of what happened last night. We could go down, that's what.
And if there's a head to roll, then it may as well be mine. And you, Dougal, will be holding the basket. Is that it?
Certainly not. But, of course, there are greater considerations than the position of a single member of the government.
We don't do things this way, especially now. Have you seen Number 10's handout?
No, not exactly.
Listen to this. We have to make sure we are applying ourselves with the right determination to explain policies which are essentially the right policies.
Let me have a look at that. What does it mean?
That if we present a bill, we have to make sure there's going to be enough support among our own people, and that it's not enough to play bully boys as they go into the lobbies.
Or don't.
As the case may be.
I can't believe that's what it means at all.
This may be a press release, but it's aimed just as much at our own people as it is at the voter. Read it carefully, Dougal. I'm right. It's telling our people they've been heard.
Well, it'll not be enough.
In these circumstances, it had better be. It's not my head they're looking for, and don't forget, it was your bill.
I believe there are those who would support me.
Come off it, Dougal. Even your own PPS ducked out. Losing backbenchers is regrettable. Losing your own PPS is downright careless.
He's an ungrateful little tinker. I had half a mind to drop him anyway.
Excuse me, Mr. Bannister. It's getting on. Car's downstairs.
2 minutes, okay?
I heard you had. Who said that?
Private office says 12:30 wrap-up. Sharp, you say so.
The kangaroo court is in session.
Who mentioned it, Charles?
Thought it was common knowledge. Much, if I may say, to my annoyance.
I have to say
got
that...
Got your folder here. Do you mind if I summon a lift to number 12?
Be right with you, Rose.
What you call common knowledge is sheer speculation.
Euphemisms. Truth. The place is full of them.
That woman gets ruder every time I see her. Why do you keep her, Charles? She has no respect for anyone.
Don't be deceived by Rose's appearance. Underneath that ghastly cardigan beats great loyalty.
She's not liked, you know. Someone here, whose view I must say I respect, said she gives the Securitate a bad name.
Who was that? Mossman?
Gerald? It might have been.
Why could you not have told me first?
Well, I haven't exactly decided on an appointment.
Yes, you have. You may feel you can't support me in Cabinet, Dougal, but I must tell you that I regard it as almost unforgivable for you to appoint a PPS without first consulting me.
I am the Home Secretary. Whom I choose to appoint as a Parliamentary Private Secretary is entirely my private business.
Come, Charles. I'd have thought secretaries, parliamentary and private, were nothing more than tea-boys, mere serfs.
Cheers.
Your health, dear heart.
Well, they work quite hard. Means they've been noticed. It's the first rung towards a junior minister's job. Maybe something in my office.
An honour few might refuse, or even be allowed to.
It's a matter of form to let me know. I have a considerable interest that the right people are rewarded for loyal voting.
Yeah. What does he actually do, other than get tea?
Runs the house end of things, gets to know what's going on, reports back on the mood, makes sure his minister's in touch.
Ah, I'd hardly recognised he was such an honourable beast.
Actually, Henry, you've probably got a lot in common. Except, of course, you get paid for espionage, whereas for Mossman it's a pastime. Yeah. Time for another?
Yeah, a little fodder, yes. I believe there's a recent bit of fish upstairs.
I doubt it. Listen, about Mossman. If you were to
take a little notice of him?
How perceptive. A seaman-like precaution, nothing more. Unofficially, of course.
Naturally, my dear, naturally.
Come on, time for lunch. Then perhaps a stroll through St. James's. Yes?
Uh-huh.
Tell me, is his ambition for number 10 real, or is it something he feels he has to maintain simply to keep where he is?
Oh, Dougal craves power, as some men lust for money. He spent most of his life being totally inadequate at almost anything that mattered to him.
And apparently attractive to women.
Mary says it's something to do with his sense of ruthlessness. He's only stayed with Roz because he believes divorce would ruin his chances for number 10.
It hasn't stopped his extraneous interests in the delightful Miss Bennett. Still taking tea, we hear.
Do we now? Well, there was all that business at Christmas. Well, you know you were there.
Yeah, most disagreeable.
But with her in Brussels now, I thought that was that. He's not said anything.
Would he?
Oh, I suppose not.
We're told, and we have no official interest, you understand?
No, of course.
We are told that ministerial favours are still bestowed. A small but charming cottage in France, I believe.
Well, I never.
Of course you didn't, Charles, of course you didn't. Your days as a PPS are long since gone. Ah, so must I be.
I can hardly believe that. He has been.
You must excuse me. I spy stranger. Much better to keep it that way. Many thanks for lunch.
What? Oh, right. Don't forget drinks, 6:30.
Bye.
My godfather James, the damned hypocrite.
Mumbling to yourself the sign of age or panic. Or both. Who's your friend?
Hello, what are you doing here?
Oh, there's been a second reading of the Keep the Proletariat Out of the Parks, has there? Come on, who was he? I didn't know they made them anymore.
Just a friend? Why?
I haven't any friends with silver-topped canes and green bowlers.
Come on, you're not exactly flat caps and whippets anymore. Anyway, what a delightful surprise.
Listen, you. Government chief whips are not allowed to find anything delightful about opposition backbenchers.
Not even when I've known you since you were a toddler and your father...
Was your tutor. It'll never play in Paisley. Anyway, how are you? You look rough.
Thanks.
Look, you deserve to. Makes you appear human.
Well, I am.
You can fool some of the people some of the time.
But not you.
As you keep reminding me, Pop was your tutor. I know what you were like when you were real.
Surprise, surprise.
Worcester, heel. Heel, damn you. Worcester, sit. Stupid animal.
You've met Juliet Cameron, haven't you, darling? And this is Worcester, who takes Mary for walks.
Hi, nice to see you again.
Of course. Let me see. Jermyn Street, 6 months ago. That's it. You just lunched together somewhere rather smart. And now here we are again.
What a coincidence, darling.
And then he waltzes in here as large as life, like he owned the place.
Mind you, I'm not surprised. Nah, he's a nasty bit of work. Knew him when I was in the mob, you know. Story was, he was given the adjutant's wife one.
Thank you very much, Arthur Hawkins. Out.
I'm only telling what they say.
Out. I told you before where the carpet starts.
Keep your hair on. I'm going. Friendly warning, that's all. You'd tell Mr. Bannister I would.
Mm. And what would you tell Mr. Bannister?
Well, nothing, sir.
That has an increasingly familiar ring to it.
Just popped in, so to speak. I was telling Rosie...
That you were just popping out, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I'll be going then.
Glad to hear it. Cretin.
Thought you were a fan.
Nosy, that's him.
So, what are you supposed to tell me?
Nothing. Mrs. Bannister called, said the table's booked for 8 o'clock. Is that all right?
Yes, yes. Tell her I'll be home as soon as I can, but not before. Now, what's all this about?
Is that Mr. Mossman?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, is about right. He's trouble, Mr. Bannister. Real trouble. Oh, he hasn't done anything bit rude, bombastic, really, but... Oh, there's something about him. I've seen it before. And now he's Mr. Baxter's PPS, well...
It hasn't been confirmed.
Oh, it has. He's already announced it to the papers. Here, you want to read it. Makes him sound like Al Pacino and Cary Grant in one. Mr. Clever Clogs wants watching...
Ah, there you are, Charles. There you are.
Indeed, and there you are, Dougal.
I'd like a word.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it in my office.
I tell you, Charles, she's most rude.
Was it important?
What? Yes, of course.
The Whip's office?
I expect you can guess. This is the Whip's office, Dougal, not a game show.
This morning? I can't for the life of me understand the PM's attitude. My feeling is that the public would like to see some sign that we are taking charge.
You were less than tactful.
I spoke my mind. But he didn't even wait to see if everyone agreed. Most unusual.
You think they were going to? Telling your colleagues that the Prime Minister ought to have a public relations facelift is one thing. Announcing it ex cathedra in Cabinet is quite another.
Ex what? But, Charles, I thought I could rely on you for support.
Excuse me, Mr. Bannister.
Just as I could rely upon you. Just a moment, Rose.
Well, that was different, of course.
Oh, really?
Well, it had to be said, and it was for everybody's good.
Dougal, I have known you for close on 40 years. During that time, you have never done a single thing for anyone's good apart from your own.
That's quite uncalled for.
First, you criticised me in Cabinet, more or less suggesting that the whole fiasco was my fault.
Well...
For which I accept part blame. But you do so because you're toadying the Prime Minister, so none of the blame falls on 10, where it should, and then you have the cheek, and if you'll forgive me, the stupidity, to implicitly criticise him. And you expect me to support you?
That's a simple explanation of a very complicated matter, Charles.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bannister, but it's number 10.
Now what?
Evening papers got you and Mr. Baxter here all over the front page. 10's going barking mad.
Is that them on now?
They say somebody's leaked this morning's Cabinet, with Mr. Baxter saying power to the people or something. And you getting threatened with a chop.
My God, Father James, who's leaked all that?
They seem to think we should know.
You said yourself you looked tired.
There's a difference between being tired and not being able to cope. The Commons must be full of people who thrive on such pressure. I've always supposed Charles to be one of them.
But he's not. I know he gives that impression, but really he hates conflict. He goes through agonies.
I thought being chief whip was all about conflict. Certainly there have been moments when I've admired his decisiveness.
Do you know why he's so decisive, as you call it?
Pacifists stamp on spiders because they can't tolerate the agony of wondering what to do about them.
Precisely. He hates conflict, so he goes into a shell and leaves the ruthless patrician outside on guard.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I'm sorry. What about a drink? Sherry?
No, perhaps we'll wait a few moments.
No, I need one. And where is he now? Polly's getting herself all dolled up, and her father's secretary calls, not even him, to say he can't get away until later.
Well, surely there's nothing new in this. We were both brought up with it.
It's her birthday. Yeah. Different generation, I suppose. And we were both away at school. Cheers.
Cheers. Happy days. Now you feel threatened by it all.
Charles's public image is the old school. Stiff, uncompromising, slightly grey, humourless. Party manager. That's his public image. You and I know the real Charles. The one I married.
Rattling good company.
What worries me stiff, Henry, is that that Charles is disappearing for good inside the shell. All we've got left is the patrician.
You want me to tell the driver half an hour?
Chief Whip in there.
On the other hand, I'll tell the driver to stand by.
Ah,
There you are, Charles.
That is certainly possible, Drew. You were looking for me, I hear. Well, I must say, I was looking for you.
I thought you should know.
Well, Charles, please, is it true that one of your whips has been having words with Gerald Mossman? I object when a whip, any whip, interrogates my PPS without my knowledge.
There was very good reason to believe that he leaked privileged information to the press.
Between these four walls, I know that.
Really?
Of course. And if you'd asked me, I'd have told you. Instead, the word's halfway around the lobby. It'll be front page stuff by the morning.
I see.
No, you don't. While you were playing your usual power game, and after you'd failed to hold the troops in line, I was running a very sophisticated ploy to get us all off the hook.
You told him he could?
No. I instructed him. Told him what to say.
You're mad, Dougal. Mad. Leaking our discussions in cabinet. Madness. Number 10 would crucify if they knew.
You don't think I'd do something like this without the Bombardier's personal approval?
That was cabinet privilege. Threats of cabinet changes are highly confidential.
But the fact that there was a threat to punish and make changes is a great confidence booster. The market's hardly budged today. The backbenchers are satisfied. It worked.
I simply will not believe this is the way we should be behaving.
You're fond of telling me how many times you've watched my back since we were at school. This time I watched my own. It worked. There's nothing like a little subterfuge. In fact, I quite enjoy it.
You crafty bastard.
Hmm. That's what I thought. Well, I must be going. Got a theatre, you know.
And Charles, kindly tell your Rottweilers to keep away from Gerald. He's a good man.
You're slipping, Charles. You look tired, you know.
Good night.
The little...
Mrs. Bannister's on too. Wants to know how long...
Blast his eyes. Tell her I'm sorry. I'll have to scrub round it. I'll see them at the flat later tonight. Tell her something's come up at the house, or anything.
Hello, Mrs. Bannister? Sorry about that. Mr. Bannister says he'll be with you in 10 minutes. Okay. Have a good evening. Bye.
Rose, if you're looking for the George Washington Award, you've come to the wrong place.
In that episode of The House, you heard Julian Glover as Charles Bannister, Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter, Isla Blair as Mary Bannister, Christopher Benjamin as Henry Colville, Siobhan Redmond as Juliet Cameron, Sheila Reed as Rose, James Garbutt as Arthur, and Terence Edmund as the Speaker. The House was written by Christopher Lee and produced by Neil Cargill. ¶¶